After a very nervous intro, I'm now in the dressing rooms of Dire Straits, and it gives me great pleasure to introduce Mark Knopfler. Mark, welcome to tonight.
Thank
Who's the
you,
Joker
Mike.
Sitting next to you, incidentally?
I don't know.
I've seen him hanging around the Siebel for some... Ed, the manager of Dire Straits.
Hello,
had to get in first.
That's who you are. Yes, hello. Nice to meet you at last.
All right, now listen, down to the serious side. How do you and the band feel?
we're such jokers.
Now, how do you feel that it's the sort of the last concert of this world tour? It's really come to an end.
Well, I think it's mixed feelings all around. You know, the road crew have been coming in like old retainers, you know, leaving. They've been with you for a long time. Oh. It's very weird because, I mean, everybody... You're very conscious of the fact there's a lot of guys that have been putting all their talents and their abilities together to make something work for everybody, and they've done a really great job for us, for the band.
Well, I mean, they're on the dole.
Well, no, they're not.
But as I said, it's spanned 25 countries in the last year and 260 concerts. When you first put this tour together and thinking of doing a world tour, did you imagine it to be this big?
No.
And to go for so long?
No. I think it was originally about 6 months, and it just grew.
I mean, like when you were telling me just before you were coming out here in LA, you said, I've planned 6 or 7 concerts at the Entertainment Centre in Sydney. It turned out to be 20. Mm. I think it was about 7 in Melbourne. It turned out to be, 13?
13, yeah.
It just seemed to go on and on. Mm. I mean, did ever get to a stage, just even in this part of the Australasian tour, New Zealand and Australia, that... It'd be another day and you'd think, my God, I've got to go and play again tonight. Did the band yourselves ever feel jaded, Stage?
Yeah, I think if you're doing a long stretch in one place, like 20 nights here in Sydney, you know, you get the feeling that you should have a clocking in machine, you should just be coming after a while.
Right.
And you have to do certain things to try and break the monotony. And we've managed to do that all right, I think. And I think the band's been playing better all the time as well, which is very surprising all around. That the standards are... we've been able to maintain standards all the way through and find new things in the music all the time. The other thing is that I'm very proud of the band and the crew for getting the whole thing sorted out, is the fact that there's a lot of fans there that come in to see the band who aren't necessarily a rock and roll, the fans that we'd be used to having, just a seething mass of real rock and roll fans in there. There's a lot of other people coming in that, I mean, we, for want of a better word, you could kind of call them the tourist bit. They're just curious, that sort of, I'll go and have a look at this. I must see what all the fuss is about. And it's nice to turn them onto it, turn them around during the course of a night.
Well, also with the bands, I mean, a lot of bands sort of say, like, after spending, so much time in a recording studio, and then they have to go out on the road, that it becomes a strain on the band because the members are seeing each other every day. I mean, has there ever been... any sort of strain on this band?
Well, we're very hot on the fact that your feet haven't got to smell on the bus, and you know that you keep your. What are you making faces
for? Yourself.
It's kind of like a marriage, I guess, in a way.
It's funny. Just before you came in, I was saying that there hasn't been a single fight, or even major disagreement between anybody within the crew or within the band.
Right, now, I won't ask you this. I'll ask Ed. Normally, the band don't like doing television. And now you're doing like an entire live performance. What motivated you to do that?
Well, one of the reasons it's live. Most television isn't live. And I think that, you know, that process of, you know, the pop TV show where you're miming is boring. But it's nice to be able to thank the people in Australia and New Zealand for the
too,
tour, you know. Yeah. It's really that. And it's also for the drug offence campaign.
Right, like one criticism, if there's been any criticism of the show... And it's a criticism that was also levelled at the Sting show, is that both you and Sting don't talk that much on stage. What's your thoughts on that?
Do you know, I haven't really thought that much about it. Sometimes I've been known to. Sometimes, you know, I don't really think. I haven't really thought.
Whereas other people say, why should they talk on stage? The music speaks for itself.
Well, you said it.
Loved it. Yeah.
That was a question of performance style, I think.
All right.
The thing is, you want the thing to flow a bit. You don't want to keep breaking it up with or too much of this.
Well, listen, we've got 12,000 people out there ready to fire into action as soon as you walk out on stage. We've got millions of viewers in Australia and New Zealand ready to watch this, a very important telecast, simulcast. Just one last question. It's a very important concert, because some of this money of tonight is going to a great cause.
All of it.
or all of it, is going to such a great cause. Whose idea was that? Collectively, the band?
Yes, I mean, we were made aware when we came to Australia about the drug problem here and the fact that this campaign was about to start. And it seemed, I mean, Australia's given, and New Zealand, have given a lot to us.
Right.
So it's nice to be able to give something back. Well, I hope the campaign
that'll
works.
Be explained throughout the telecast. Why don't you hold you up? To all the boys, have a great night. And Mark, have a great night. And thank you very much for coming.
Again.
And for you?
Molly, it's always been a thrill.
Same here, mate.
All right, cheers.
We'll be back in a moment.